Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems too. Like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable, too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hello and welcome to Jokes with Mark Simmons, a podcast where I chat to another comedian about jokes they can't get to work. As always, I'm joined by producer Joel.
Hey, here I am.
There he is. Here he is. What's been happening, producer Joel?
I've spent quite a lot of the last week worried about how big my head looks on Zoom.
Worrying about it? Why?
Yeah, don't you think? It's pretty enormous on Zoom.
But you're leaning in then. It gets bigger the closer it is.
That's maybe where I'm going wrong.
Yeah, it's all right.
Okay.
What have you been doing on Zoom?
Wait. Just chatting to people, Mark. Recording podcasts.
What?
I know.
Other podcasts.
So many. That's all I do all day.
You didn't tell me. What? It's not your job, is it?
It's my job. What did you think my job? What did you imagine my job was?
Well, I thought we just did this.
That's what you do, Mark.
I thought that's what we did. I thought it was our thing. Oh, I suppose I better go and try and get some gigs. Well, that's not going to happen. I've been getting gigs. It's all looking good. And then the big news hit yesterday, Joel, that still, actually in 2 minutes' time when we're recording, there will probably be clarity because it's his...
It's a weird one, right? So... But could you do a gig as long as there were no group? Like, because people can go to a pub and be in groups of six, but a group of seven people can't meet up.
I have a feeling that it will be okay if the gig is set out correctly. Yeah. For example, in Brighton at the Warren on the seafront, they're all separate tables, very spaced out. And if you were a group of six and went and sat on one of those tables, and that loads of groups of six did, I think that I'm hoping. That would be okay. And where'd you bring up that Brighton gig, Joel? Because on the 27th of September, I'm doing a show there, Sunday afternoon comedy at 1:15.
Lovely.
With Danny Ward and Gareth Richards. And we're all going to be doing little bits of what would have been in Edinburgh. So a nice hour of comedy and fun. You can get your tickets at the Warren.
Comedy and fun?
What, at thewarren.com or something.
Google
the Warren Comedy Brighton. Just Google that. And then 27th of September. And just go to my social media at Jokes with Mark. I'll put a link up. There you go. Good little. Oh, look at that. Wasn't that so professional how I got into that?
That was really slick, actually. Yeah, it doesn't actually seem like anyone owns thewarren.com. So feel free to buy that domain name.
Yeah. If you're a rabbit.
If you're a budding .com millionaire.
Let's crack on with this then, Joel.
Please.
Who we got on this week?
It's Adele Cliff.
It's only bloody Adele Cliff. Good stuff. One-liner comedian. We discuss it, actually, because I don't know whether she would call herself a strict one-liner comedian in her act, but I'm pretty sure we went into that. Did we go into that, Joel? You've heard it since I
recorded
it?
You go into that.
Good stuff.
And more.
What's that?
And more. It's
and
not just that.
And more. And she is the current 2020 UK pun champion. There's a UK pun championships and she won it this year. And we didn't really go into that much, which I kind of think that would have been interesting to talk about, that whole process. But since I thought about that, I've now got the 2019 Pun Champion to come on the podcast, and we're recording that soon. So I'm going to dedicate that to talk about that, because they have to, they get given topics and they have to come up with like a certain number of jokes for that topic. And then I find that interesting, because how do they try them? Have we got time to try them?
Yeah.
So we'll talk about that. Anyway, that's the future. But now it's Adele Cliff. So in clubs, we never gig together because we're too similar, I guess, one-linery. Yeah. We just never gig together. And then we gig at the one-liner show that Masai Graham puts on in Edinburgh. So I sort of see you a little bit there, but I haven't been to your hour before. So are you strictly one-liner, or are you do you intersperse it with bits?
In hours, I tend to have one-liners within anecdotes and stories. So like my last show was all about sharing and whether or not I was any good at sharing, and I was talking about relationships and current relationships and previous relationships and stuff like that. So there's a lot of one-liners in it, but it's all sort of linked together by the premise that I'm trying to tell them a story.
Right. So there is it all one-liners kind of weaved, or do you come out and do other bits? How do you?
That one, at least, it was one-liners and other bits that were sort of weaved in. So it wasn't just one-liners that happened to dovetail. Yeah. Like Glenn Moore's really good at that. Basically, every line of his show is a one-liner, but you still feel like he's following a plot.
Yeah. It's great.
Yeah, mine had like bits where I'm clearly being like, this is what I've noticed about this thing. So it's no longer one-liners, but yeah, there's quite a few.
Yeah, because like the one-liners I know of yours aren't particularly in reality, are they?
No,
like,
it's not so huge.
That's the trouble, I think, because that's the trouble I had years ago when I tried to link stuff together like that, and then I just worked out that doesn't work for me. I'd rather not do it. But when it's too silly, then it takes people out of the realism of the story.
I suppose the thing with stuff like that is, like, I was talking to Glenn about it a while ago before I did my last show, because he's just brilliant. And so we were chatting about it, and he said what he always does really early on is establish that he's clearly lying to the audience. So when he says something stupid, he's like, you know, I'm lying. You know, I've been lying this whole time. Don't be surprised. I've said something completely improbable. But yeah, I don't know. I haven't quite done the same thing. Like in my last show, I was lying to them a lot, but I wanted them to not realize that until later. So a lot of the weirder one-liners, I tended to be like, this person said this thing.
I
had in my last show, one of the things I did is the ex that I kept talking about, I was like, oh, he just had this weird habit of making up facts. So whenever I had a weird one-liner that didn't really make sense for a person to say, I'd be like, he said this, he tried to convince me of this fact, and then it sort of...
So would you say that after the joke, like, would you go, and that's another thing he said, or would you always start it by saying, this is something that...
I think I mostly started, I mostly did it in a be like, Jack said this, or...
Have you got an example of one of those?
Let me think of one. So some of them were, yeah, a lot of the idea was that he would try and convince me of facts that clearly weren't true. So one of them was that the thing used to strain vegetables is called a calendar. And I'm not an idiot. That's called the big sieve. And then what's another one? If you hold a cauldron up to your ear, you can hear the potion. Weird things like that. So where they're obviously not set in the same reality as the show, but you could believably think that someone would say that to be funny.
Yeah. Okay. So this new show that you were writing, is that the same in the same vein as before?
A little bit. I think it was, this one was less of a story. Like it had a few anecdotes in, but it was more sort of, here's some thoughts I have on things that have happened to me, and not just one big linked up story bit.
Yeah. So being that this podcast about stuff that doesn't work, it'd be quite interesting if you've got something that, like, one-liners that haven't worked, but also the other bits.
Oh, yeah. I've got, don't worry, I didn't have time to do most of my previews. Most of the show doesn't work yet.
Oh, cracking. Let's make it work. Let's do this.
Let's do it.
So you're going to just keep the same idea and then you're just going to add to it throughout this year and then hopefully the show's going to be even better next year?
Maybe. I think there's quite a lot of bits that I was going to put in the last show that I really like and I don't want to lose from the next show. So I don't think it will end up being the same show that I would have written if I'd done it this year, but I'm sure there's bits that I have written this year or had the idea of this year that will end up in it.
I always think in an ideal world with a one-linery show or a jokey joke show, you should have two years is the perfect time to make a really good quality show.
I'd hope like so. It's enough time to write enough jokes that you can bin enough and still have the right amount left.
Yeah, but I like to go every year because it forces me to write. So I kind of look at it as Edinburgh's making my club sets really good instead of having... Like, the shows are good. I'm happy with the shows. But my best ever show was after when I did a double act 1 year and I didn't do a solo. So I had 2 years of jokes built up.
Oh, nice.
So hopefully that's the same next year.
Mm. But annoyingly, everyone will have had 2 years.
Yeah, but are they all working hard?
Well, that's... Based on people I know, yes. But let's hope some people just aren't. So that there's a chance they'll be, you know, we can impress people with 2 years worth of writing.
But then who knows when we're going to be able to gig as much. It might get to next Edinburgh and we're still not have previewed.
Yeah. And just get there and be like, well, I think this works. And I'm like, no, you've just been in a room for a year and a half going crazy. Yeah. None of this works.
It's hard when you haven't got an audience to really kind of get a gauge on a new bit before you try it. Because I think you kind of get into a rhythm of knowing what an audience likes. Mm. And then if you haven't gigged in front of one for ages,
And I think it's sort of different with one-liners and slightly more anecdotey bits, but it's the same in the sense that it's hard to quite gauge how they'll go down. But with a one-liner, quite often you can tell if you think it's quite good. And if you think it's quite good, it's probably okay. But often your favorite ones aren't the ones audiences prefer.
Yeah.
But what's quite hard is working out those ones that you do on stage where you're like, I just don't think it's as funny as you think it is. And audiences really like are so hard to pick out when you're writing them on your own because you just don't tell them to an audience. So you just write it down and go immediately, well, that's stupid. Move on from that. But yeah.
So have you made some notes?
I've got a few notes. Yeah. These are some one-linery things. Oh, don't worry. This is a notebook. I haven't written that many notes for you, Mark. Sorry. It would have had my most recent showing, but obviously I haven't written most of it, so there's a lot of blank pages.
Okay. So these are bits that you have tried a few times in front of a live audience?
Yeah, well, I've got some one-liners, some of which I've tried in front of a live audience, some of which I haven't at all, and then I've got some longer bits that I sort of tried once or twice.
Okay, let's do some one-liners to start and see what we get.
Okay. I always get confused between ignorance and arrogance, but that doesn't matter because I'm brilliant. It's just not quite there, is it? It's like, yeah, I understand the premise of that joke, but no.
Why no?
I think I have done that once or twice in front of an audience, and I'm like, I think the idea of ignorance is slightly harder to get across. Like, is ignorance in the context of this joke not caring about something, or is it not understanding it?
So you think maybe there's too much to think about to really understand it?
Yeah, well, it's sort of because the way I've been setting it up is like either I always get confused between or I don't know the difference between ignorance and arrogance, and then you've got to decide what half a sentence is going to represent being ignorant. So is it like, but that doesn't matter, because I don't know if it not mattering is actually being ignorant, because that's sort of just not caring.
Yeah. That's a tough one. Have you sat down and studied, like really tried to work out the definitions? And
So arrogance is the easy one to get across. The moment it sort of works and you listen to it and you're like, that does make sense.
I think the arrogance line will get a laugh anyway. But if you can really nail the ignorance bit, that's when it'll be a big laugh, I think.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it doesn't. Because in the moment, I don't know if you've got time to really...
I guess you don't. I guess
it's close.
Yeah, it's what, it could be something.
What happened when you did it?
When I've done it, well, the few times I've done it, which is they were in Australia because I was in Australia before lockdown. So I was stacking a few little one-liners at the beginning of a set of new ones. So it would be okay, but also I'd only done two jokes so far. So often they were in the phase where they're like, are you funny or we're still working you out? So
do you think it makes a difference that you are being arrogant on a basic level of people don't like as a comedian, if you're saying you're brilliant?
Yeah, I do think people don't like that at all, which is another reason why I think maybe that joke would make more sense woven into a bit, like into an anecdote. And then you've sort of created more character around yourself and more character around other stuff. Because if you walk on stage as a one-liner comedian and you do 25 jokes, they might not really find out anything about you because...
Yeah.
Quite often you end up contradicting yourself. So quite often you'll be like, oh, I've got a wife, I've got a girlfriend. And then in the next joke, you don't have a wife or a girlfriend, or you'll say something about some relative, or you'll imply that you have a hobby that you don't have. So you can get to the end of a whole bit and they're like, well, I enjoy all these jokes, but what do I know about you as a person? So if you say you're arrogant, there's every chance they'll be like, they're probably arrogant. That might not be the joke. So
is ignorance and arrogance... Are they put together quite often?
I mean, the thing is, they're sort of put together, but they're not like opposites, are they? They quite often pair up as in...
Is there another
one? If you're arrogant, then you are frequently also ignorant of things too, so...
Yeah, yeah. Mm. I like it. It's one of those that you've just got to keep...
Well, you know, in the future when I'm allowed to speak to people again, I might try it again.
Report back.
Yeah.
What else have you got?
Okay. This one I've never tried on stage because I think it's weird, and I only wrote it a few days ago.
You think it's weird? Like, do you think you think it won't work because it's weird?
I think maybe it won't work because it's a bit weird, because I don't know where I'd put it in a set.
Right,
so it might just be a bit odd compared to what I would say around it, but we'll see. It really annoys my friend when I confuse monkeys and apes, but I don't think it's my fault they're so bad at long division.
That's great.
See, it's sort of fine, but then also, what other jokes am I doing around that will lead into me just suddenly being a math tutor?
A section of jokes, isn't it? It's got to be. So let's have a real look at that. So, people, well, how to say it again?
It really annoys my friend when I confuse monkeys and apes, but I don't think it's my fault they're so bad at long division.
Yeah, why does that annoy your friend? Is that because they're a bit kind of...
Yeah, I think I was, when I wrote that, I was trying to get it into the context of people being particular about different things. So I assumed that, at the moment in this joke, it's just my friend, but it might be an actual person who is pedantic about things like that.
Did you go straight for long division? Long
division. It was because I was... As I was writing it, I was like, what's something people think is confusing? I don't know if long division is the best one. It feels like the first one that comes to mind, but...
Long division. I do quite like long division, but I wondered if there is a better comedy word.
I mean, algebra
word.
Maybe is a little bit
I did
shorter.
Just think algebra. Mm.
Yeah, it could be it's algebra.
How did you word it again? This probably annoys people when they're listening because they've just heard it and remember it, but...
Well, if they can remember it, they can become comedians, because I can't. I need to read it again.
The punch.
It really annoys my friend when I confuse monkeys and apes, but I don't think it's my fault they're so bad at long division.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah. Maybe algebra. Algebra is funny too, isn't it?
If it didn't work, because basically the joke idea is perfect. So if it didn't work, the only trouble would be getting from the setup to long division is a fairly long sentence. I don't know if
it is a little bit. Yeah, I mean, because also within that long sentence, it's not the biggest leap ever, but the leap I'm saying is I've been trying to teach monkeys and apes long division and I'm trying to convey that in half a sentence, and that's quite a weird thing to just slip into a joke and hope people go up and get on board with. But you know, it structurally makes sense.
Yeah, no, I think it's great. I think that will be a great joke. And I think it maybe it is, but you just can't tell yet until you try it.
Who knows? Haven't tried it in front of people apart from you. So.
Yeah, I like it. I like that one.
Well, thanks.
What else you got?
Many people believe angry sex is the best, but I don't think we can so quickly dismiss grumpy, sneezy, or bashful. I mean, I don't know if sneezy is the right one to have in there at the moment, but
so that's just silly, right?
That's just silly, yeah.
Because that's not you're saying you're having sex with a dwarf.
No, I think that's just silly. But I think because in my head, in jokes like that, I think what I'm saying is I'm a bit stupid and I don't understand that what they mean is being angry and having sex. I'm like, oh, dwarves, they should all be included in this joke.
Yeah. What are they the best suited dwarves? Did you go through all the different ones?
What are the other ones? It's Doc doesn't make sense. Happy doesn't really make sense because it's not a weird idea.
Yeah.
The other ones.
I have no idea.
Wait, I'm up to five now. No, wait, I'm up to... Got four in the joke. I've just said two more. How many are there? Seven. What's the last one? Grumpy, sneezy, bashful. Is there like a dopey or something? I don't know if there is.
I don't know. No, dopey you don't really want if it's, it sounds like a bit drugged.
It does a bit. Maybe there's another one. I wasn't allowed to watch Disney films when I was a child, so...
Oh, really?
I'm catching up now. And by that, I mean Wikipedia is helpful.
What? Did you try that one?
I've never tried that one, no.
Okay, cool. What's next? This is fun.
Oh, right. I've been earning a lot of extra money by doing things like house-sitting, cat-sitting, and babysitting. I'd say my favourite is house-sitting because I feel the least guilty about sitting on people's houses. Okay, see, that one just doesn't work because I say sitting about 50 times in that joke.
And house.
But I think I can get to the punchline with one less saying house-sitting. I think it's... I've been earning extra money by... cat sitting, babysitting, and house sitting. I'd say my favorite. No, wait. If I had to choose a favorite, I'd say I do feel the least guilty about sitting on the houses. And then I haven't said sitting more than four times in the joke. It's really hard because I was trying as I was writing it, because that one I haven't tried at all. That was just me trying to think of as well, it's just silly. But there's no other word that conveys house sitting, babysitting, and cat sitting in a way that makes sense and isn't you talking around it. Like, if you
I mean, I don't mind the three sittings if there's not a sitting in the punchline.
Yeah. Or maybe but it's
perched. No, that don't like that. It sounds too weird. Sat.
Sat is basically sitting, isn't it? I'm just changing.
Rhythm wise, would that make a... I don't feel so guilty. Sat on a house.
Or maybe it's I feel the least guilty, or I feel like I'm least likely to crush the houses.
I get asked back more, like if it's a house rather than... Okay, cool. What's next?
Well, the next one is not really, it would be a one-liner, but linked into the context of some other material. So the other bit of material I have that I was going to have in my show, and probably will try and have in my show, is talking about my mum. She had breast cancer recently, and she's better now. Well done her. I mean, it wasn't her. Other people did that. But she had breast cancer recently, and at one point they offered her a test to find out whether it was hereditary. And she just got it done because she likes knowing stuff. And I don't like it at all. You know, when people are like, would you rather know when you'll die or how you'll die? I'm like, no, neither. Go away. But so she got this test done. And one of my sisters, both of us were like, don't tell us the result. We don't want to know that result. Keep that to yourself. But she didn't really understand that. But the point I'm trying to make is, like, I wouldn't want to know if it was hereditary.
Yeah, yeah.
And so the one-liner I have on the end of that is basically, Where is it? I don't want to know that. I'm single. I spend enough time on my own playing with my boobs and worrying. So it doesn't work as a one-liner on its own, but it's on the end of a bit.
Do you, and so that bit have you done before?
I haven't really done that bit because I haven't written a lot of the beginning of that bit. I tried it in a super early preview in February or something, and I had bits about it, but I hadn't written a lot of it. So really it was just me going on stage and saying, my mum has cancer, and then being like, why are you all so uptight about that?
Because for me it's like, it's such that is such a jump from apes. Long division.
It really,
like, you, like, I guess you need to have a real good sort of think about how to
To me, like, that's something that I doubt I would be able to, unless I did a whole, like, if I was doing a 10 where I was trying out that material, it would basically have to be the whole 10, because you can't just be like, and now I'll just drop into this material. But that's why.
What was the one-liner within it?
So the one-liner, I need to find it. I'm just trying to do it from memory, which is a terrible idea because I haven't done it since February.
Also, another thing you might have trouble with is, like, as a topic, it will be triggering for people, which is okay if you approach it okay in the right way. But maybe sometimes people might disagree with your opinion.
I think that's the thing. So I have loads of bits that would have been in my show and will be in probably my next show, which are about, like, is it better to know things or not know things? So, like, that falls into that context. And
That's great if that's a section.
I have one of the other bits that probably will end up in it is that I was going to be in the Tron again as my venue, and I was in the Tron last year. And during one of my shows last year, this 88-year-old man collapsed halfway through the show, and we had to stop the show and get the whole audience out and get an ambulance to take him away. And I've got a whole bit where basically the idea is, I never found out if he was okay. Like, I want to think he was okay, but I don't know. I don't want to know if he wasn't. And also, if I'm trying to find out that fact, I think really all I'm trying to do is reassure myself. Like, me finding out whether or not he's okay, if I found out he's okay, that's great, but that's only going to make me feel better. That's not going to have an impact on his family, in the sense that they already know what's happened. So it's just about me. And if I find out he's not okay, what am I? Am I an accessory to murder? I have a whole bunch of stuff like that. Like, you know,
was that like you? Was it that? I mean, that if he properly that's so that was well that must be quite scary. Like,
yeah,
is that
it was
the
quite,
weirdest thing
it's
that's
quite
happened.
Odd. It was quite a scary one because it was halfway through the show, and the Tron's quite dark, and it's quite like you can see the front, but you can't see further back. So basically, it was just like he was nearer the back, and someone was like, "This man's not very well," and we had to work out where his family was and stuff like that.
It's either that, or that is a really good heckle to get everyone out of the gig.
Maybe he was just hating it, just to a degree where he's like, "I cannot wait another 20 minutes to get out of here." Even though I definitely think by the time he'd got out of there, the show would have ended.
I've had quite a few people fall asleep, and I've had to sort of make sure they're all right, but I've never had anyone actually be ill, I don't think.
Well, I think the thing is, in a lot of Edinburgh rooms, like, I like to reassure myself by being like, he's probably dehydrated. They're all so hot, these rooms. Everyone's packed in, but, you know, I don't know that because I never checked. But you do get, like, so many Edinburgh rooms are way too hot. There's way too many people there. And a lot of people are running around between shows. So quite often they've just, like, not stopped to get food or a drink or anything until they get there or they're too late. But
see, this feels like quite a nice way of linking a show together.
I think it could be. The only thing I worry about a bit is that a lot of the stuff that I had for my last show is a bit deathy, and I don't know how much people are going to want to talk about that when so many thousands of people have died.
Fuck. I didn't think about that.
And, like, none of it is obviously because it was written before it happened, but none of it's directly coronavirus related. But
Had you written any jokes about that guy, that situation? Like,
I wrote like a whole bit about that situation before lockdown, and I sort of hadn't really had many times to try it on stage because it's not that long, but it's a little bit of an odd one to start a set with if you're trying new material or something. So So it would work fine to start an Edinburgh show in the sense that you're like, I'm in the same venue. This is a thing that happened to you last year.
Yeah.
Was anyone there type thing? But you can't really go on to be like, hey,
is
I'm
he
just
here?
Doing 10 of new material. Is
he
Gerald
might come
in?
Back.
He might come back. Wouldn't that be lovely? He was 88. I don't know.
Sounds like as a ghost, though. Don't say it like that. Don't say, what if he's coming back? He's haunting the Tron. Oh, God, this is a bit dark. Sorry.
Yeah, well, no, I was thinking, like, there's something to be had in the idea of, like, I'm in the same venue at the same time. If any show at the Fringe is going to be haunted, it could be this one. And
yeah,
I hope
yeah.
it's not haunted, but, you know, if you hear anything.
Because that whole topic of not wanting to know things, like, you could link review, like, anything, stories about reviews in and,
yeah.
like, comedy related, because a lot of people don't like reading reviews.
No, I don't like reading reviews. I never read reviews.
No, obviously, because it's that's the whole thing, isn't it? That's your
exactly. That's the entire thing. But I don't like reading them. And one of the things I was sort of going to link in is that I don't like reading reviews, and I don't like, you know, reading press stuff in general, unless it's like Adele's going to do this thing, and it's just a future thing. But my parents absolutely can't understand that, and particularly my mum. Like, she'll read every single thing that possibly comes up to related to me, and then will call me and give me a breakdown. And so when I said don't read reviews, or if you're going to read reviews of me, don't tell me about them, she'll be like, oh, this person liked you. And I'm like, that's exactly the opposite of what I told you to do.
when you just said give me a breakdown, do you mean as in a breakdown of the review, or literally give you a breakdown?
Well, I was thinking a breakdown of the review, but I mean, realistically, given that I'm basically saying, don't do this, it makes me unhappy, kind of both.
Because you could, maybe there's a way of a fake bringing it together at the end, is there's a review of the show where he collapsed.
Yeah. Well, that I sort of thought that might be a thing. I saw when I was discussing it ages ago with a couple of other people, they were like, maybe you need kind of a Chekhov's gun type thing where you've got maybe a letter that for some reason says whether or not this guy is okay, and you haven't opened it and it's on stage for some reason. But as I don't know if that would detract from it, because at the moment it's true. It's just like, it's true in the sense that this guy came, I've changed his name and a few things, so it's not clearly him, but anyone who was at that show would know I was referencing that show.
Yeah,
and all of the facts of it are the same, like, and all my reasoning is the same. Like, I haven't found out, because I really don't want to know if he wasn't okay. But I don't want to then undermine it by at the end being like, and here's the reveal: is he alive?
If it's true, if you were to do that, it needs to be the truth.
Yeah, exactly. So I do need to,
but you
find
could,
out.
But you could, because like a letter, so it would seem odd that you'd get a letter.
Yeah.
But you could ask a friend to investigate and then not want to know.
Well, I thought potentially it could be that my mum must know, because she does so much Googling of me. She must have found out. But I know that that isn't an actual real article that exists. So I would then have to actually find out.
And she 100% would have told you by now. Being that
she would have done absolutely no amount of me telling her I don't want to know stops her.
Okay, cool. What else have you got down?
What else do I have? Oh, I have I feel like this is an observation absolutely everyone will have had that I was trying to write into an onliner. So I think I'm just going to bin it and never use it. But I think one of the main reasons that lockdown felt so long is that we were encouraged to sing happy birthday every time we wash our hands. So I'd say I've celebrated about 1,000 birthdays since March.
I've never heard a version of that.
Oh, well, so, maybe I'll keep it.
So with that, it feels more like an observation than a one-liner.
It's a short observation, I think.
Yeah, because you find out what the joke is way before the end of it.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean.
Yeah, definitely. All of the, it's all just it's all one observation, as in there's no clear bit of that that's the punchline. It's
could,
just, this is quite
Is
funny.
There a way of doing it with a reveal? So like,
It's like sort of tricky,
like,
because
could the reveal be because I've had to sing happy birthday so many times?
Yeah, it kind of is. So I suppose the reveal has to be, the reveal, you can't say happy birthday before the reveal, but then also you need to imply within the reveal that in your head every time you hear happy birthday a year has passed. Which, yeah, there might be a way to do it.
How did you word it again?
At the moment, it's just
a joke. Sorry, it should be my catchphrase.
Do that joke again, please, but better. No.
Yeah, that's my heckle.
I think one of the main reasons that lockdowns felt so long is that we're encouraged to sing happy birthday every time we wash our hands. So I'd say I've celebrated about 1,000 birthdays since March.
Yeah. So, yeah. So like a way to slightly put it further back would be wash every time I wash my hands, I've had to sing happy birthday.
Yeah.
Could that be the punch? Is that enough?
It could be. I think the only bit of information I think that is, it might work. The only thing to me that I worry is lacking there is that I'm implying every time I sing happy birthday, I'm thinking about my own birthday. But realistically, loads of birthdays happen and you could sing happy birthday quite a lot of times if you were singing it to other people. Yeah. So it just has to be quite self-centered. But maybe it can just be the...
I don't know. I like that. That's just a really nice idea. Do you find sometimes it, as you sort of mix and match your sort of styles a little bit with observations and one-liners, that if you've had a lot of jokes where it's bang, bang, bang with like the reveal, and then do one of those, even though they find it funny and get it, they're still sort of waiting for the rhythm of...
I think I find that a bit. So like at the one-liner show where we get together a lot, everyone there knows you're doing one-liners, so you don't need to do any real talk in between. In fact, they don't really want you to. They just want the jokes. But if I'm doing stuff in a normal set elsewhere, sometimes even though a lot of it is one-liners, I'll put a couple of words in between to link it. So I'll like put a few jokes about my sisters together. And then even though it's three one-liners, it feels a bit like it's a grouping of me discussing my sisters. So then if I do an observation afterwards, it doesn't feel quite so jarring, I think.
That makes sense.
Because I found I used to do... Well, I found early on... I mean, I was definitely a worse comedian, so it's difficult to compare. But I found early on when I just tried to do one-liners and there wasn't real any logical order to them. It was just me doing a one-liner and stopping and doing what other one-liner. I think... Firstly, people are a bit confused because often they don't expect women to do one-liners in the same way. Yeah. Even though a lot of women have incredibly high joke rates, they sort of weave them in a different way. But also, I think the way I was doing it, at least, you're asking people to jump around a lot in their heads. Like if you don't think about the order of your jokes and you're like, this joke requires a bit of knowledge of history. This joke requires that you think I'm single. This joke requires this. You're sort of, every time you've got to, they've got to get back into it. Whereas
like resetting.
Yeah. Whereas if you link a few jokes together, they can be in the context of, oh, you're discussing your parents. That's great. All of this is about your parents.
It's funny because I do that and I'll link all my girlfriend jokes together and stuff like that. And it is funny how some people afterwards, like maybe, I don't know, maybe it's just, maybe it's friends talking about your act afterwards and they think you've done a routine on girlfriends. It's like, no, they're like, it's weird how people don't really see sometimes what you're doing.
Mm.
And it's so such a simple thing to do.
Yeah. Although, I found like when I started to make it seem like most of my one-liners were personal, as in most of them somehow related to me in some context, people really, after a set like that, really felt like they knew way more about me, even though they definitely didn't. There wasn't more information there. I just happened to put the word I into a few more jokes or to like link them so they thought I was discussing one topic so they had an idea of what my opinion was on it.
Yeah. But I once had a bit, so I've got Crohn's and in my one-liner show, so the first one-liner show, that I had a bit about that. Essentially, it was like a long one-liner about me having it. But it was the only thing in the show that was like a real thing.
Yeah.
Which I think people found a bit weird. And then afterwards, I'd get a lot of people coming up to me, usually people who had Crohn's, going, have you really got Crohn's? Like concerned that I'd done a joke about it, because it wasn't even a joke about, it's not like a joke taking the piss out of it. It's just, it was a joke in around the setting of, you've got to make the most of it if you have something, try and see the positives. So that was the sort of thing. But I think because all my other jokes aren't real, some people thought I just made up that I got Crohn's. I thought, who makes that up?
A weird leap to be like, this will be the thing I really want to make up that I have. This is the one piece of comedy gold.
But it's not even like it was wordplay on Crohn's. It's not like I heard the word Crohn's and thought, oh, that sounds like crows. Let's try and work out how to make that a joke. such an odd thing. But I think sometimes people, you know, they...
Well, I think people have to believe that you're in it. It's like the stuff where I was, I hadn't written half of it, but stuff about my mum having cancer. I'm like, people have to, I can't just launch into that and be like, here's three bits of information. That they want to sincerely believe that that's the thing about you. So whether or not it is, you have to approach it in the right way. It's like this stuff about this man coming to my show and being ill. Like, you have to give it enough time that it, they truly believe that you do care about the outcome. Because you saying that you do doesn't necessarily mean that they'll believe that, I don't think.
Do you think if you do some previews and you find that those topics with normal silly jokes don't work, would you try and do a whole show about a thing and not put one-liners in? Or
I would like to do a whole show about one topic. So whether it's like I quite like, and I think my most recent show, the one I would have done this year, would have pretty much all been about the idea of like, is it better to know or not to know?
Yeah,
I don't know. So to me, the idea of it not having any one-liners, I guess it might not, in the context of it, would be difficult to go in and go, and then she stopped and did that joke about escapology, but.
unless you put like it in as a device, say you literally say to the audience, some of this is quite heavy. So
let's
after a heavy bit,
stop and
I'm
do
gonna
three
do some,
one-liners.
And yeah, I feel like they'd be on board that. Then.
Because I think as well, like I tend to, if I'm writing anecdotes or bits, I tend to write them and then I try and sort of highlight all the funny bits within them so I know where the jokes are. And then I put in other jokes. So I sort of, hopefully force isn't the right word, but basically I try and force in three or four one-liners that work with the story and don't disrupt the anecdote, but are definitely one-liners that I can pull out again and do separately at other gigs.
So in like a tight set.
So I guess, I mean, I have seen a few shows. Have you ever seen Three Mics?
Oh, the on Netflix.
I like that a lot as an idea. That it's just such a clear break between here's me doing observational stuff, here's me doing one-liners, here's me, it's just such a clean break in between, and I like that a lot.
And did you think that worked?
I think it did. I think it worked very well because it was so well done there. I think as a device used by other people, it could be quite easy to make it sort of a bit too easy for them to not have to expand on things or not have to do the hard work around structuring the show. But I think that one was so well done and so well structured. But
does he do that all the time now? I think, or was that just for one show?
I think that was just that one show. But I haven't seen his other shows, so I don't know.
No. Yeah, interesting. Interesting device.
Yeah. But I've seen a few people use the let's pause and do a couple of jokes as a thing to break up a show. I think because it can work quite well. It's just sort of, you have to really carefully pick as well. If you're going to go with the premise that this show's really heavy and important, I'm discussing such big themes, let's pause and have a joke. You then have to really think about what the jokes are going to be. You could, even though you're going, let's pause, let's do something fun. You don't want to undermine what you've been talking about, but also you don't want to make the bit that you've been talking about seem incredibly serious and devoid of humor, because it hopefully there's lots of laughs in that bit.
That stuff needs to be solid and a good hit rate, I think. You're right.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Adele Cliff!
Hey!
Hashtag awooga, Adele Cliff. Lovely stuff. What a nice joke content focused show. Good one.
Yeah, lovely stuff.
Thanks everybody who's tuning in and listening. Like, I'm getting lots of nice feedback on social media at Jokes with Mark. You even got put over the other day on a tweet. Did you see? I don't think they tagged you in it, Joel. They said they liked our banter.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah. We work hard at it, so.
Well, yes. So,
it just always flows really, really well.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to do, Joel. Just like really. Anyway, so.
Oh, sorry, mate. We're just really good at picking up on each other's cues.
Oh. I think that was a bit of fun. Anyway, Joel. Jolioso. Brand new Patreon episode going up probably by now. Is it, do you think, Joel? Not quite yet. When do you reckon that's going
up? Not quite yet. It'll be up by the weekend. Patreon special. But there's going to be... we're going to finally open the taps on Patreon content. Because we've opened the Mark Simmons vault and found all of the old episodes. And we're going to give you loads of bonus stuff that you've not heard before.
So get signed up now. patreon.com/jokeswithmark. Good. Wow, I'm looking forward to next week now, Joel.
Me too, Mark.
Yeah. And hopefully gigs will be cracking on as normal and you should go out and watch some live comedy 27th of September in Brighton. So anything more from you, Joel?
Nothing more from me, Mark. Anything more from you, Mark?
Nothing more from me, Joel. Hashtag awooga, everybody. Awooga.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itsinas.
Kayla Itsinas. I'm Kayla Itsinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.